Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I mean, if hour number two of a College Football Friday wasn't the fastest 60 minutes you have ever seen on the early line, maybe hour three will be that for you as well. A lot of football conversations will set the stage for this holiday weekend and the extended weekend sets around Major League Baseball. Some more college football best bets to end out this third and final hour, including the six-game Friday night slate that we have to kick off week number one in full. And a college football and really just football legend, also from his days in the National Football League with the Seahawks, Sean Alexander, will join us here in this third and final hour to talk about the Sean Alexander Freshman of the Year Award. The Hot 37 list was released earlier this week, entering week number one, and he'll give some insights on his Crimson Tide football program and what they look to do in year number one following the retirement of Nick Saban under Kalen DeBoer.
I bet you didn't know this, Ben. Back in 1996, my freshman year of college football, I was in the Hot 37 and almost made it all the way to being a finalist here. So something you guys didn't know about your boy DRS, a hot freshman in college.
Now, listen, again, I got to look through all of the long talking points that we have here, but I believe the first award was given out in 2016, if I'm not mistaken, but we'll look at it. Maybe 2018, whatever. Don't look at me like that.
You look at Sean Alexander in his college. Graduates in 1999. Maybe we brushed up at some Heisman Award trophy ceremonies at that point. You never know. Maybe he remembers me. We'll see.
Maybe so. I don't know if the Hot 37 featured William Patterson, but maybe it did because of the talent that Donnie Wright's side did possess. But we'll talk with Sean Alexander hopefully later here in this third and final hour. DRS, we're going to talk about the San Francisco 49ers after the extension given yesterday to Brandon Ayuk. But I do think it is worth noting, this is the first College Football Friday of the year. Next year, the first true Football Friday, or next week, I should say, the first full true Football Friday of the season as we will get ready for week number one around the National Football League following the season debut next Thursday night in Arrowhead. So, because of what Donnie and I do for the football programs on this network, College Football Today, Pro Football Today for DRS throughout the regular season, Monday night and Thursday night football with an emphasis on bringing you the best game coverage for those marquee national primetime games. DRS will be alongside Joe Lisi and Kevin Walsh for Monday night and Thursday night. A little bit of a change to our morning program scheduling here. So, here's what the week will look like on a day-to-day basis. Monday, following a Sunday slate, it's Donnie and I together for all 3 hours to play Monday morning armchair quarterback and those swift reactions from a Sunday slate in the National Football League. But then Donnie's going to be working Monday night for Pro Football Today, so it will be myself and Joe Ranieri. As I get ready for Saturday, I'm off Wednesday. Donnie will be alongside Andrew Dubsy Anderson. On Thursday, we're back together. It will be myself and DRS. And on Friday, again, with Donnie working Thursday night football coverage for PFT, it will be myself and Joe Ranieri to send you in football weekend. Anything else you want to clean up there, DRS?
Now it should be fun. Looking forward to it. The boys will be in studio. And the reason why, yes, like, oh, look at that. The boys are going to be splitting up. We are needed in so many areas during football season. Yeah. Sports Grid Network is absolutely ready to go. And quite frankly, I think that the moral of the story is Kevin and Joe can't be in the studio together doing shows. So the true professionals, Ben and myself, have to sort of be in there to make sure the shows go okay. That's why some of our talents are taken to different areas, because the trust level for the two other guys might not be there as it is with us, Ben.
Listen, I don't know if I would go as far to say that, but I'm not going to argue the point with a little bit of flattery here on this Friday. And listen, we love what we do here on the Early Line. We have consistently hosted this show together now for the better part of the last year since the start of last football season. And I will miss my days alongside DRS. But we are both a couple of football guys that love what we do over the weekends. It's a weird thing, Donnie, in sports media, because a lot of people would be like, hey, you got to work Saturday and Sunday and Monday night and Thursday night. I tell my friends all the time, listen, man, I would work 17. I shouldn't say this out loud because then I'll be asked to do so. But I would work 17 hours on a Saturday in comparison to a morning show. And that's no shot at what we do here on the Early Line. I think we do a great job. I just love working around college football. Always want to be a part of it. And I know you feel pretty similar, DRS, for that NFL coverage on PFT.
It's easy. Like, and then we talk about your passions. Obviously, we're in the sports field, so anytime we get to talk about sports, it's wonderful. But for me, just to be in a room and talking NFL action on a Sunday and during the game itself, it's like, you know, the boys are getting together, sharing their analysis, having fun, being on camera, cheering on bets, and watching things play out. It doesn't beat that. So we're going to have a lot of fun this season, college football crew, pro football crew. And it's a long start because it's already underway for the college football guys. Yeah. But we go right through to the Super Bowl. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. But at the end of that marathon, I'm like, man, where did the time go? Because before you can blink, Ben and the boys are going to be talking about that 12-team playoff and watching it play out live. And then we're going to be talking about the Super Bowl about a month later. So it does go quickly, and we're going to enjoy these times.
And let's talk Super Bowl odds. And to do that, you need to win a conference championship. Our focus on the NFC and the San Francisco 49ers. They extend Brandon Ayuk a four-year, $120 million deal. Most everybody in San Fran is happy. Yeah. Trent Williams still holding out, the best left tackle in all of the National Football League. But outside of that, San Francisco's expectations remain the same. Win the NFC again, finally knock down the door to the first Lombardi Trophy since 1994 in that franchise's history. They get the opportunity to be back in New Orleans at Super Bowl 59. That was our question to all of you in Fade the Public. Will the San Francisco 49ers win the NFC again? They have played in four of the previous five NFC championship games. They have won two conference crowns. They have played in two Super Bowls, each against the Chiefs and Kansas City, and they have lost both of those games. But they've had the opportunity, and with opportunity comes that expectation. So will the Niners win the NFC again this season? Yes or no? Most of the public, more than 59% of the votes, saying no. Which way did Donnie Wright's side vote?
I voted no, and I'm part of that 60% here. But you hear me tell you time and time again, I do think pound for pound, the San Francisco 49ers are the best team overall, maybe in the NFL and in the NFC. Obviously, there are some other teams out there, Detroit Lions, Philadelphia Eagles. They'll have their say when the season gets underway. But the reason I voted no is, Ben, it's so hard to get back to a Super Bowl. Like, take the Chiefs out of the equation, trying to go for three straight Super Bowls, just a straight-up anomaly at this point. But from a San Francisco perspective, they played very good last year. I thought they should have won the Super Bowl. Now you're asking Christian McCaffrey to be that bell cow running back and be healthy the entire season. Trent Williams holding out. He's another year older here at this point. We know Brock Purdy's going to have pressure on him this campaign because he wants that big contract next year. So it's not as if you don't like San Francisco, which I do. It's just so hard to get back. And also keep in mind the correlation to the betting markets. We're not asking you yes or no with a plus or minus price there listed. The no technically here, you're expecting them to not get back there as the favorite because why? The 49ers are on a minus 140 to win the NFC. It's plus money. So I think the people are very astute with the betting markets laying it in here and saying to themselves, all right, to win the NFC, it's a 3-1 price. We're not asking you about the price, just a straight up bet. You should be taking the no.
And you see the odds there as well. Minus 190 to win the division for a third consecutive year. San Francisco is going to win the NFC West. I would be shocked if they did not. I believe the 49ers could contend for the number one overall seed. All to say, I think they'll host at least one playoff game inside Levi's Stadium and maybe even more than that. I think the 49ers can get to the NFC Championship game for a fifth time in the last six NFL seasons. I do not think they will win it. I would bet on the Eagles to do that. But there's a lot of contenders like the Packers and even the Lions that I think will make some noise this year in the NFC. San Francisco is going to be good, but back in a Super Bowl, maybe not this season. MLB breakdowns next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yes, a College Football Friday and a Football Friday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. But still, we enter the final month of the regular season in MLB. It's a holiday weekend and a full slate on this Friday around the bigs. We will have games on Labor Day Monday. You've got some extended sets that will continue throughout this weekend. DRS, one of the marquee matchups this week, of course, at the bank in Philadelphia. The Phils win game number one against Atlanta of this four-game weekend set, 5-4, as they come back from down 4-0, entering the home half of the sixth. Brandon Marsh, three-run home run. Nick Castellanos, a two-run shot in the seventh. That was the difference. Today, it's Ranger Suarez against Reynaldo Lopez. Philadelphia, a minus 138 home money line favorite. What do you like in game number two?
I think the Phillies can win this game again. I took the Phillies yesterday, minus 150 price, and it was like, oh, boy, I look like an idiot here early on, but they end up getting the win in that baseball game, make me look a little bit smarter. But let's flip it over to today, because it's always about the starting pitching matchups. I think we've got a pretty good one here. You got Ranger Suarez on the mound here for the Philadelphia Phillies. Hasn't had much action over the past 30 days because of that IL stint, but his return back to Major League Baseball was good. His season, 500 batters that he's faced, is very good. ISO power, number 116. Weighted on base percentage, 273. They all check out against an offense technically with Atlanta that isn't very good, but also Reynaldo Lopez on the other side. His last 60 days, he has had some injury issues to worry about. 36 and a third innings pitch, but a stellar ERA at 2.72. This is a playoff type atmosphere down here at the bank tonight, and I expect it to go that route. Do I think the Phillies win? Yes, but I don't think we see 9 runs in this game, Ben. I'm more apt to take the under today between these two ball clubs.
We did see 9 runs yesterday, slightly working its way over a total of 8.5. The long ball was king. Matt Olson hit 2 for Atlanta. He's recorded an RBI in 6 consecutive games for the Braves, 12 in that span. And, of course, the 3-run shot off the bat of Brandon Marsh and a 2-run home run for Nick Castellanos. Ranger Suarez to start this year was sensational. At the end of May, even after suffering his first loss in what was his worst outing at the time, he was 9-1 with a 1.75 ERA. Not terrible in the month of June, but then the wheels started to fall off just a little bit. He did return last week against the Royals on Saturday, 5 innings of work, only 72 pitches, just 4 base knocks given up and a single earned run to record the win. That's what they want out of Suarez as we get close to September and, of course, into October. Between these two teams, 10 games played this year. Atlanta has won 6. Philadelphia yesterday now with 4 victories. The Phils maintain a 6-game lead for the top spot in the National League East. Now we go late night to Arizona, out in the desert. What a matchup we have between the Dodgers and the D-backs. It's Zach Gallen on one side for Arizona. It's Clayton Kershaw on the other for L.A. Minus 134 is the money line price in favor of the Dodgers. 8.5 is that total. Kershaw last year made one playoff start for L.A., got absolutely rocked by these D-backs. Hoping for better tonight in downtown Phoenix.
you're probably just looking at this line saying, okay, it's Kershaw, that name pitcher out there. The Dodgers technically a better team. But I don't know if the Dodgers can run out that starting lineup they did yesterday and expect to get a victory in Arizona today against Zach Gallen. Now, also keep in mind, Zach Gallen not having a great 60 days here in Major League Baseball. He used to being much more dominant in the past. We look at his last 60 days, 52 and a third innings pitched, a 4.64 ERA, and that equates to an xFIP of 4.37. Not the greatest in the world, but if we're looking at that Dodgers lineup, the anticipated lineup tonight does look much better, Ben, than it did last night. Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, Hernandez, Luck, Smith, Muncy, Edman, and Rojas, as opposed to having Tommy Edman in your cleanup spot. He drops to his rightful place in the eighth hole tonight, and that's what we're anticipating. That should help. Zach Gallen does have some pretty clean splits, especially against right-handed batters over the past 30 days. His last 50 batters he's faced from the right side, Ben, 064 ISO and a 260 weighted on base percentage. But Zach Gallen is going to be the key to this game. I think he has a good performance. I would be willing, based on that starting lineup, if with that plus 106, plus 110, let's just say, by the time we get the game time, I think might be in the fold for Arizona. Kershaw, solid last 30 days. Let's see if he can continue it. But I always like the nod to home teams here. I'll go with the D-backs as a slight dog price tonight where Gallen gets the best of Clayton Kershaw.
DRS, it's not a surprise that a pitcher is better at home than he is away from his home ballpark, but that's really been the story for Zach Gallen in the last 2 years. 6-3 with a 3.19 ERA in Phoenix this year. Last year, even more drastic. Away from home, had a losing record and an ERA above a 4.4. At home, he was 12-3 with a 2.47 ERA. Clayton Kershaw's first three starts in August, two earned runs given up in August. All three combined. Not great in his last one. Did allow five earned, and the Dodgers suffered a loss. L.A. enters this weekend, though, with a cushion in the National League West, despite the D-backs being red hot since the All-Star break. The Dodgers up by four games over Arizona. The Diamondbacks 27-10 since the All-Star break. San Diego trails L.A. by five games. Arizona by a game for the top wild card position in the National League. The Padres, though, 26-11 since the All-Star break, despite dropping two consecutive games in St. Louis against the Cardinals to end out a four-game midweek set. Tonight, they continue the road trip at the Trop in Tampa, where the Rays a home favorite at minus 132. 7.5 is the total. What do you like?
Better pedigree pitcher on the mound is going to be coming from Tampa Bay side, but that doesn't really equate to victories when your offense can only give you basically 2 to 3 a night are the expectations for the Tampa Bay Rays. You take a look at Martin Perez, the crafty lefty that's been around the league for quite some time. He's been very good against left-handed batters, struggles a little bit with righties, but let's take a look at that Tampa lineup against left-handed pitching. Diaz, average numbers here as the leadoff spot, only 14 at-bats he's had against left-handed pitching over the past month. Brandon Lau, 250 ISO power number, but a low weighted on base percentage. Dylan Carlson in the middle of that lineup's got 20 at-bats. He's been decent. But outside of those few players, everybody else really struggles with left-handed pitching here, and that's going to be the key indicator tonight. If we flip it over to San Diego and how they should fare at the plate, well, we're expecting much better conditions for them than we're just talking about Tampa Bay. Taj Bradley is decent, but get this, Ben. His last 119 batters he's faced, a combined ISO of 286 and a weighted on base percentage of 408. I trust the Padres way more tonight than I do the Tampa Bay Rays.
And we will continue to fly around this Friday in MLB in just a moment. Games that will have an impact on the postseason standing this weekend, all weekend long, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Donnie, we talked about it in hour one, looking back at Thursday in MLB. The Mets take a series victory in Arizona against the red-hot D-backs. That says something. The Mets trying to stay in line in the National League wildcard chase, but still trail Atlanta for that last spot by three games. These are the series that you need to not only win, but probably sweep when you're playing the Chicago White Sox. The Mets on the road in the South Side today as greater than a $2 favorite. Over under is 9. Jonathan Cannon gets the start for Chicago. What's your thing about him? He's more like cannon fodder right now. Should the Mets offense explode tonight in Chicago?
Yeah, his middle name is Cannon. His last name is Fodder, Jonathan Cannon Fodder at this point, because he doesn't really get too many baseball players out, particularly as a right-handed pitcher struggling, Ben, over the past 30 days with right-handed batters. Now, you take a look at some of the right-handed batters last night. Who went yard? Pete Alonso. Can he stay hot? Maybe, but it doesn't have great numbers over the past month against right-handed pitching. But you know who does? Mark Vientos, due to be up in that two-hole tonight. 75 at-bats, Ben, against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. A 338 ISO power number and a weighted on-base percentage of 380. But having said that, you got a high number here for Tyler McGill that's going to be on the mound. Now, granted, he hasn't had much work over the past 30 days, but on the season, struggles with lefties, struggles with righties, his last nine at-bats, a 250 ISO, 458 weighted on-base percentage. If you are going to bet this game, I recommend probably not taking a side, even though the Mets probably still should win going away because we understand that the Chicago White Sox aren't trying to win. But if I'm going to take RBI props, told you Vientos on the Mets side, Andrew Benintendi in the middle of that lineup, 63 at-bats, Ben, against right-handed pitching the past month, a 407 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 459. You can still make some money on these bad baseball teams. I'd look at those two guys tonight for some RBI opportunities with the wind blowing out and decent temperatures in Chicago.
The Mets have a difficult schedule down this home stretch as we enter September. A three-game set this weekend in the Windy City. You need at least two, and again, probably all three. Of course, the Braves taking on the Phils for all three games this weekend in that four-game set. Another marquee four-game set this weekend in Houston. The Astros take game number one, 6-3 against KC. Bad loss for the Royals. We're up entering the eighth. A couple of defensive woes allowed Houston to take advantage. And Vinny Pasquantino exiting the game early with an injury. And now you turn to Framber Valdez against Seth Lugo. Earlier in the year, it was Seth Lugo who couldn't miss. And Valdez was a little bit slow to start. Now it's Valdez who can't miss and keeps winning games. And Lugo who is struggling. What gives tonight in H-Town?
I'll tell you what gives here. Framber Valdez on the mound, and nothing really gives too much against him. You take a look at his last 30 days, absolutely filthy stellar. How about a strikeout rate of 34%? How about if you're a left-handed batter going up against him? That strikeout rate goes up to 41%. His ISO against, 096. Weighted on base percentage against, 208. And you say, well, he's having a good 30 days. Look at his season in totality, Ben. 574 batters that he's faced, an ISO of 104 and a weighted on base percentage of 286. Those are the games that you get upset with for Kansas City. You should have won yesterday. Now you got the ace on the mound for the opposite team. That makes it harder. And Seth Lugo coming into this game, struggling over the past 30 days with left-handed batters. Seth Lugo is much better to start this season than he is right now. But if you're looking for an RBI prop perspective, look no further than Alvarez there. A 381 ISO power number against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days with a weighted on base percentage close to 500. It's going to be a tough hill to climb tonight for Kansas City if they want to get a victory here.
It wasn't Fromber's fault last Saturday against the O's. 5 2/3, gave up three earned runs, struck out eight against the O's, but he did record his first loss, and it was also a loss for Houston, stabbing a 10-game win streak for the Stros when Valdez got a start in which he won eight of those 10. Since the month of July, Lugo has made nine starts. He has recorded a decision in all nine. He has lost seven of the nine. At the end of June, he was 11-2 with a 2.17 ERA. Now we go to Anaheim tonight. The Angels snapping a seven-game skid yesterday, but a pretty hefty home underdog against the Mariners as they start this weekend series. Houston wins a game they probably should not have yesterday, much to the chagrin of the M's. Now a four-game lead for Houston in the division. Can Seattle make up some ground this weekend in Southern California?
You should be able to. And by the way, George Kirby, not looking that great over the past 30 days here. But if we take that 60-day look in totality, 3.7 ERA, which isn't bad, an xFIP of 3.66, and not a much to know about Aldegiri on the mound tonight for the Angels. You're at that type of the season where they're just throwing random warm bodies up there to try to get guys out. Seattle's a massive favorite. Would I lay it? Probably not. But should they win? Absolutely.
We are going to talk some college football and the sensational freshmen around the country up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are very, very pleased on this Football Friday on the early line on Sports Grid to now welcome on Sean Alexander. Maybe you know him from his days of storming down the field in Seattle as the 2005 NFL MVP and a three-time Pro Bowler with the Seahawks, or taking Tuscaloosa by storm during his college football career at Alabama, or you just want to wish Sean Alexander a happy birthday. Sean, happy birthday to you. Thanks for being here with us on your birthday on the early line.
Ben, thank you. How you guys doing, man? Thank you for having me. This is great. Love your show.
We're very glad to have you here. We're happy to have you here on your birthday. We're happy to have you here entering the first full weekend of the 2024 college football season. The Sean Alexander Freshman of the Year Award, first given out in 2018. Trevor Lawrence, a worthy recipient. And now, Sean, becoming a standard of excellence in college football to the top true or redshirt freshman around the nation. How did this award come together? How much fun have you had selecting the recipients the last few years in college football?
Man, you know, gosh, it's been about 9-10 years now. Mike Griffith, who is a great reporter for Georgia, he was at Alabama when I was there, went on to Tennessee, then to Michigan, and then to Georgia. He was a president of the Football Writers Association, and he said, hey, now you're retired. Love to get you a part of college football. You've been a great guy, great ambassador for your school and just football in general. How do I get you a part in that? So I got to be a part of helping look at some of the nominees for other awards and then picking the freshman All-American team. And then he said, hey, we're thinking about naming the award after somebody. We want somebody whose name is who's young enough. They can be relevant. Players could kind of remember them. At least their parents will. And I said, oh, let me think about that. And he's like, Sean, it's you. Like, you've been around us. We just wanted to make sure you're the guy we thought you were. And so it was a great honor. And then we went through picking out the guy. And we had four characteristics that we wanted. Number one was talent. You know, we turn on that film, we're like, ooh, who's that guy? You know, at whatever position, just a dominant performer. The second one was character. And that was just, you know, they always say, Sean, you're young enough that we wouldn't want somebody's mishaps to mess you up, you know. And so I always say, we don't have to be Mother Teresa. You just can't throw a drink on her, you know what I mean? So, the number three was ambassador, which meant that you could speak on behalf of your university. We literally called the schools and be like, what do you think about this kid? And then the fourth one was a legend. And the NFL always says, you know, once a player, forever a legend. And we just wanted to say, man, we think of this guy and he's got NFL-type talent. And we've been so proud of the committee with the writers, with the Maxwell Football Club, I'm part of the awards family, just picking out some great guys. You know, you take the last few years, Brock Bowers, Drake May, Caleb Downs won it from last year. Just a lot of fun getting to know these guys, getting to kind of go through the whole process with all these guys, even on my birthday, that's when we do the hot list, hot 37 list. And going from those guys from 18 and 19-year-old little boys to grown men by the time they get out of college and go to pros, just a lot of fun walking through the whole process.
Talking to the 2005 NFL MVP, and by the way, the MVP of so many fantasy football teams back in the day, rumbling for yards with Walter Jones and Steve Hutchinson. But you're the perfect person to ask here, Sean. Going to Alabama as a freshman, talk to the people out here because, you know, going to a university expected to win national championships, you show up on campus as a 17 or 18-year-old as a freshman. Talk about your freshman year at Alabama and even the redshirt year that got you ready to perform at the highest level.
Yeah, you know, Alabama has always been the same thing. It's going to be strong competition. You're going to learn a lot about yourself. Are you willing to go be the man that your talent could possibly take you to be? And so my freshman year was a lot of fun. It was a lot of hard work. You learned a lot about who you are and what you really got going on inside of you. And then, of course, being redshirted, you know, I was behind my head coach was Gene Stallings, you know, legendary coach, Bear Bryant's favorite assistant, you know what I mean? So I got all this history behind it. He didn't play freshman that much, you know, especially on offense. And so I would come off the bench and, you know, put up these staggering numbers, then go back to the sidelines again. And so you had to learn a lot about humility, about being patient to play at Alabama. And you still knew that you got to have a shot to win a championship every year. And so that's the line. And so I think, like, that's what's really missing with today's football. You got NIL, you got social media, and the two things that really help damage a person's development. It's fame and money. If you don't handle those things well, you won't really give yourself a chance to be the fullness of what you could be. And so I run my program, the PLP program, which I take some of the winners and some of the guys that are nominated all the way through, and some pro guys too. I run them through that program about, can we develop you into being elite, being excellent, and leaving a legacy that matter. And so that for me was a part of it at Alabama, was learning how to go through that state, try to give that back to college football and pro football.
Yeah, it's one of the big things for the Sean Alexander Freshman of the Year Award, leaving a legacy both at your program on the field and off the field. Sean, you mentioned the Hot 37 list. It came out on Wednesday, entering this 2024 college football season. A couple of the names that stand out: Cam Coleman, one of the top wide receivers in the country, now going to Auburn. Jeremiah Smith, another wideout at Ohio State. And keep an eye on the new signal caller in Knoxville, Nico Iamaleava, who is the quarterback for the Volunteers, sensational in the Citrus Bowl against Tennessee. But Sean, as we talk about Alabama, you know what it's like to be in Tuscaloosa. You know the pressure that can be on the Crimson Tide football program, and that pressure on the uptick for Kalen DeBoer in his first year at the helm of the Tide, trying to fill the very large shoes of 17 years of excellence that Nick Saban left behind. What do you expect for your Alabama Crimson Tide in 2024?
Well, you know, I expect Kalen, Coach DeBoer, to be the great leader that he is. And I expect Alabama to be Alabama. You know, it's just because Saban was there for 17 years. People forget that they were winning with Gene Stallings before him. And then, you know, and the same thing would happen with you had Bear Bryant. Now, they were going this in the 60s and the 70s. Six national championships in those two decades with Bear Bryant. We get six more with those two decades with Nick Saban. It just happens. But Alabama's going to still be Alabama. I think that Bama hired a great coach because he knows how to win, and he's the total opposite of Nick Saban. And it's because you don't want a coach to not be the leader of the program. And so you got to have somebody that's a little bit different from what they're used to, but still know how to win. So it's a great hire. You know, I tell people all the stories. You got Saban, who was no nonsense, no music at practice. You got DeBoer smiling, music's blasting, they're running to death. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so you got Coach Saban, four-letter words, which starts with love you, and you got Coach DeBoer, no four-letter words. You know, it's like, it's just, they're just defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator. You know, like, they're totally different, but they both knew how to win. And what's going to be similar, that Crimson jersey, a support group that's going to love them to death, and great recruiting. And so they're going to hold those two things similar, but they're going to win in a different kind of way. And I think it's going to be great for our university.
By the way, Sean, you take a look at the six winners of this award, and keep in mind, these are freshmen. So it's like, okay, maybe they won't go on to have great college careers. I don't know what formula you guys are using to lay this out, but it is working. Trevor Lawrence, Kenneth Gainwell, Will Anderson Jr., Brock Bowers, Drake May, and Caleb Downs. It does it. That reads as a who's who right now, Sean.
Yeah, we've been proud. You know, we get them, you know, 17, 18, 19, and, you know, we pick them hard, and I stay in touch with them, so I get to go love on them and encourage them to go be great, be excellent on and off the field, to you know, turn on that film, something that you can be proud of. And we've had one first round, one pick overall, number one overall, two number three overalls. You know, Brock, another first round there, would have been a high pick too, you know, but that was COVID year, so he sat out his whole sophomore year. And we think Caleb Downs is going to be a superstar. So, yeah, we're very proud. We're excited for this year. Great group of kids. It's going to be awesome.
An illustrious list, an illustrious running back in the history of football, and a happy birthday once again to Sean Alexander. Sean, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of the B-Day, my man. More on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is week number one of the college football season, entering 2024, the first full weekend after week zero, after a 21-game slate on a Thursday. We've got six more on this Friday, 67 tomorrow on the first full Saturday of 2024, one on Sunday, one on Monday. DRS, how else do you want to enter week number one than what we have on the slate this weekend? And Sean Alexander here on the early line, breaking it all down. That's a good college football Friday.
I mean, brought me right back to the 90s. Me and Sean dominating 1990s football. Him doing a D1, me doing a D3. Kinship was right. Yeah. You saw the chemistry. And if anybody at the sports grid management is watching, like upper management level, I mean, come on now. Yeah. You see the talent in me. Go ahead.
100%. Absolutely so. I can only imagine Donnie Wrightside vying for the Sean Alexander Freshman of the Year Award at WP if the award was back around then. Here there's a couple of guest spots that need to be filled on Pro Football Today. Joe Lisi and Sean Alexander's half hour? Sounds pretty good.
That sounds like a new show. Like in that Friday format, we're looking to get half hour shows in there. I mean, Lisi and Sean Alexander, that'd be something you got to watch there.
The Lisi Hour, the Bowden Blitz hosted by Joe Lisi with Coach Terry Bowden, and the Sean Alexander Amazing Half Hour hosted by Joe Lisi as well. All right, six games on this Friday slate in college football. One of the better games of the night between a couple of power conference programs. It's the ACC's Stanford and the Big 12's TCU. The Horned Frogs make the trip out to California. They're nearly a double-digit favorite, laying 9.5, or 8.5, rather, excuse me, as of this moment, against the Cardinal. 59.5 is the number. Of course, DRS, TCU 2 years ago. National runner-ups, yeah, they got blown out by Georgia, but still made it to the national championship game. Last year, entered the year ranked, lost as a 3-touchdown favorite at home against Deion Sanders and Colorado, and really never found their footing in year number two under Sonny Dykes, a losing record at 5-7. How does TCU kick off year number three under Dykes out in Palo Alto tonight?
Yeah, heavy public favorite, too, by the way, for TCU. Just looking at some of the markets there, as high as 7 out of every 10 tickets coming in on TCU. That line opened up, Ben, at FanDuel at 8.5. Where is it sit this morning? Still at 8.5, so no real movement here. The total moved slightly, 60.5 on that opening number at FanDuel, now down to 59.5. You would want be led to believe that TCU is the better pedigree program at this point, but sometimes you see week number one on the road, things don't always work to your favor at this point, but we're not talking about those Stanford days where they were way on top of the building block. Now you're just trying to find out which conference Stanford's in, as opposed to them being something on the national prominence of, oh yeah, this team can win a lot of games and challenge for a conference championship. That's not going to happen. Yeah. I'll take TCU. Probably should be able to win this game by double digits.
Yeah, the days of Stanford really being an excellent program out in the Pac-12 have been numbered. They have not been to a bowl game since 2018, even in the final few years of David Shaw. Never more than 4 wins. They've won exactly 3 games each of the past 3. Now Troy Taylor, of course, is the head coach. Stanford can fill it up offensively. Bad last year defensively. In fact, the worst FBS passing defense in all of the nation a season ago, which brings me to TCU and their quarterback, Josh Hoover, who was airing it out under Sonny Dykes' system a season ago. He is expected to get the start tonight. 281.5 is his number. I would lean over that, thinking he can get the 3 Bills against a bad Stanford defense. Other games tonight, a couple of notable programs from the Big Ten. Michigan State and Wisconsin, hefty favorites at home. FAU and Tom Herman visit East Lansing. It's the debut of Jonathan Smith for the Spartans, the former Oregon State head coach. Wisconsin, it's year number 2 under Luke Fickell. DRS, the Badgers have a very difficult schedule. A lot of ranked opponents on the docket this year, but it's year number 2 under Luke Fickell. Look at what he did in year 2 at Cincinnati with a quarterback in Desmond Ridder. They've got their quarterback, at least by their standards in Madison, with Tyler Van Dyke in year number 2 of the Derry Raid. More passing for a focus for Phil Longo. I'm starting to convince myself Wisconsin can win at least 8 games. I think it starts in a big way tonight, seeing some points at Camp Randall.
By the way, you like this other like outside story here, which Wisconsin was, I think we get points in this game, 55.5 to the over. But did you know the reason why Phil Longo showed up at William Patterson University to be their offensive coordinator is because of the film work that your boy DRS gave in 1999? I missed him by a year. I missed that offense. I should have had 50 to 60 to 70 catches in a season. I just missed him by one season, BSS. How do you like that?
The native of Red Bank, New Jersey. Let's get him in the studio at Bellworks. Yes, he was at WP back in 2000. Phil Longo follows me on Twitter. And I, of course, follow the offensive coordinator for the Wisconsin Badgers. Again, a really good defense, a really good secondary, and a Wisconsin offense that had to acclimate last year. Very ground heavy, pro style under Paul Christ, flipped everything up under Luke Fickell with Phil Longo. I expect Wisconsin to be on the rise. The Badgers, one of four FBS programs since 2010. 14 college football seasons in that span to at least, with bowl games included, have a winning record each and every year. One ranked team in action tonight, it's Oklahoma. 42.5-point favorite for the Sooners against the team from Philadelphia in Temple. DRS, we talked about this game earlier in the week. Stan Drayton, year number three. Temple's won just three games each of the past two seasons. Not expecting much better for the Owls. They were 2-8 against the spread as a dog last year, not covering by an average margin of 7 points per game.
Now, we're going back to those dark days, like the 1990s with the Ron Dickerson era, where you just get like the Big East would just roll over them, and the team being so bad, they're getting kicked out of conferences here at this point. And you saw that resurgence under a couple different head coaches, which Matt Rhule was great, Golden was great. It's a shame they can't get back to it, because Philadelphia is much more enjoyable when Temple football is really good. And those couple years, it was fun to watch. Not anymore. They probably get hammered tonight in Oklahoma.
Donnie Wrightside, enjoy the money line and have a lovely Labor Day weekend. I will see you on Tuesday back here on TEL for game week in the National Football League and recapping everything around this weekend in college football. Tip of the cap to you. More CFB handicaps up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I mean, right? Like, come on now. 21 games of college football last night. Six more on this Friday. 67 tomorrow. One on Sunday. One on Monday. The five-day consecutive stretch of college football returning to our lives in full for week number one is in full swing. I didn't go to bed till 12:30 a.m. this morning, last night. I'm exhausted. I'm running on fumes, and I will continue to do it each and every night. And oh, by the way, programming note for college football today here on the Sports Grid Network. Where else would you want to be to get set for the first full Saturday of the 2024 college football season? 67 FBS games tomorrow. Myself, Kevin Walsh, and Joe Lisi will get you ready for pretty much each and every one. I mean, there is a ton of game handicaps that we are going to go through, and breakdowns and previews and picks tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern to noon Eastern time, live right here on Sports Grid. It's college football today, and the fun does not stop on Saturday in this Labor Day weekend. It continues on Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time, for a Sunday special edition of CFT. The same cast and crew gets you ready for the two marquee matchups to end out the weekend. First and foremost, Sunday night in Sin City, a top 25 game between USC and LSU. And will Florida State bounce back? What's the outlook now for the Seminoles as they play their second consecutive ACC game to start the season, but back stateside in Tallahassee against Boston College. That game on Monday. We've gone through the marquee matchups that we will see Saturday. We've looked at the games on this Friday night. A couple of other big names in action that are hefty favorites, as you might expect. Week number one, Ohio State ranked second in the AP Top 25 for the fourth time in the last 8 years. The Buckeyes trying to get back to top college football, a 48.5-point favorite in-state showdown against the MAC school of Akron. 48.5-point spread in favor of the Buckeyes. Now, normally I would say don't lay the number, but if the Zips score more than a field goal, we tip our cap against an Ohio State defense that I think is going to be the best or one of the three best around the country this season. And an offense last year led by Kyle McCord that was not great. It was the first time since 2012 that the Buckeyes averaged less than 35 points per game. And I know that is a very lofty threshold to qualify for more than a decade, but the first time since 2012 that Ohio State averaged less than 35 points per game. Not going to be the case this year. Will Howard, Quinshon Judkins, Travion Henderson, and we'll get to the receivers in just a little bit. But that ground attack will be reminiscent of what Oregon had under Chip Kelly, either with Marcus Mariota during those days or when he was an offensive coordinator as well in the late aughts there in Eugene. Oregon, by the way, now under the tutelage of Dan Lanning, entering year number three, 44.5-point favorite against a pretty solid FCS foe in Idaho, who has made the FCS postseason each of the past two seasons. But of course, this is a different animal. The Ducks, a 44.5-point favorite. One of the five best offenses in both scoring output and total offense a season ago. I expect no drop-off, even after Bo Nix departs and is now in the NFL. Dylan Gabriel is the Heisman preseason favorite for a reason, and Will Stein is still the offensive coordinator in Eugene. Texas in for a test, if you ask me, against a good Colorado State team, or at least a really good offense. Braden Fowler-Nicolosi is still the quarterback for the Rams, and Torrey Horton, one of the 10 best wide receivers last year in college football, returns for CSU. Texas, a hefty favorite, but this is going to be a good game. Alabama, in the post-Nick Saban era, 31.5-point favorite against a solid Western Kentucky team. T.J. Finley, now the quarterback for the Hilltoppers. He transferred from Auburn to Texas State. Pretty good last year for the Bobcats. He has played Alabama twice in his collegiate career with the Tigers, but Alabama's going to put up some points. 31.5 is that spread. Ole Miss against the FCS foe in Furman, a 42.5-point favorite. Michigan less than a 3-touchdown favorite against Fresno State. In a season opener where the maize and blue have not been great covering numbers the last few years in non-conference play. And although Michigan might not defend its crown as a national title winner, they are going to be great defensively, and they will be really good up front once again with that downfield rushing attack led by Donovan Edwards with Sharon Moore as the head coach. Enjoy the holiday weekend. Enjoy Labor Day. Enjoy college football. The Early Line returns on Tuesday, 8 a.m. Eastern.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.